All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to the podcast. It's never a dull moment at Something to Believe In. Welcome, Allie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. How was your 4th of July?
It was awesome. It's probably one of my favorite holidays. Summer, obviously.
Yeah.
Family, barbecue, water, pool or lake. But I will say this year, you know, you can't have a Roman candle firework, but you can surely light off like big sky fireworks right in the middle of neighborhoods.
Really?
And every house around us had these huge fireworks. I had friends in town from Texas. They're like, we've never seen anything.
Do you have all your fingers and toes?
Yeah, I stayed put. I had scared pups in the house that I was protecting, but it was amazing. How about you?
Good. We went to the Stadium of Fire.
You did?
First time. You were there?
Tim McGraw.
So Steve Carter texted me. I mean, it was so crowded that he said, hey, I'm yelling at you. You're not paying attention. I'm deaf and old, and I was overwhelmed. But that was something else. I mean, my wife loved Tim McGraw. The flyover, it was very patriotic. The fireworks were unlike anything I've ever seen.
They do an incredible job. In fact, for 20 years, I've had a group of friends that have gone every year that we get tickets for, and it was 93 strong this year, our group of friends.
It was great.
But
I highly recommend.
Tim McGraw, he's looking good.
He did look good.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a vest on, and I mean, he was showing his guns, and he's in good shape.
Yep.
It's interesting how, I don't know what type of personality he is, but he really owned the stage.
He did. And his age, he has a ton of confidence, as he should, but he did an incredible job with Faith in 1833. If you haven't seen it, it is.
It's a good show.
To Yellowstone. It's awesome.
Yeah. So last podcast, we talked about resiliency and being resilient, and hopefully our listeners found some sort of resiliency in themselves.
For sure. And Janelle did an incredible job.
She did.
Opened up, shared some things that I think we can all take away from.
That's kind of why we put the lion out here today, was to remind ourselves, you know, to find that inner lion.
That's right.
You took roar. a quote off of Katy Perry.
Yes.
Hear me roar. Anyway, interesting development the last couple of weeks. So months ago, I had the privilege of playing in a little tournament, a member guest with my brother in Arizona, and we had to have a caddy. And he was a nice young man, very, very handsome, very fit, young guy. Everybody's young compared to me now, Allie. But over the three-day process, we got to talking and become friends. And I said, hey, you know what? He asked me about Utah. I said, you should come to Utah. Just being nice, I threw it out there and didn't think much about it. Well, about a month, 2 months later, he calls and says, hey, Abby and I, my girlfriend, want to come to Utah. And I'm like,
okay.
Oh, I'm remembering that conversation. I'm like, well, of course, you're welcome. Come on,
Is he gonna stay at my house?
Yeah, and he's like, do you mind if we stay with you guys?
Oh, he did.
Yeah, that came out after, and I'm like, oh, of course. So I'm trying to think, how am I gonna approach this with my wife, and how do I massage this for the least amount of damage, right? So I said, I waited a week, and I said, hey, Steve called. His name's Steve, and he and his girlfriend Abby want to come to Utah over the 4th of July, and they want to stay at the house.
Holiday weekend.
And she's like, well, I don't even know these people. We don't even know these people. They're strangers. And I said, it's going to be great. And she goes, well, they're a lot younger than us. What are we going to do? And I said, we're just going to be us.
We're just going to be young.
We're going to have a good time. So there was a lot of anxiety building up to that. Long story short, they show up, good-looking couple, and we had a great time. We took them to the Stadium of Fire. They loved Utah. They were like, oh, my gosh, I think we want to move here someday.
Wow.
But interesting enough, we kind of ran out of things to do. So I said, well, let's go for a drive. I'll take them up Guardsman's Pass. Well, I went up the wrong canyon. But where I'm getting at with this is it was actually just so beautiful. And we stopped at the top of, is it Snowbird? Mm-hmm. Past Snowbird, Alta. And we got out, and they were just mesmerized by the views and the beauty and everything around. And what it forced us to do was stop for a minute and look around. And it's amazing how beautiful things are.
Yeah.
And it was just an incredible experience. It was a credible 4 days, even though it was over a holiday. I think they had a great time. But more importantly, we had a good time. And it was completely out of our element. We would have never done that on the 4th of July. We'd have stayed home or stayed in the valley somewhere. But I guess what I'm getting at is sometimes when you stop and you get uncomfortable and you do things different, I wanted to say no. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I said yes, which kind of leads us into our next topic for the month.
Yes. And you're so good, though, at just always genuinely creating friendships and genuinely inviting and genuinely getting to know people. And sometimes it does force you, as we talked about yesterday with a lot of loan officers, of being willing to maybe step out of your office and go and meet with people face to face now, which we've gotten away from. But just being willing to do that and what doors open because of it.
Yeah.
But you've always been really good at that, Steve. Definitely.
Well, thank you.
And Mimi, I'm sure, appreciates it so much, especially on holiday weekends when strangers come to stay. But,
oh, yeah.
But it does. It forces you to do things you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
And I was going to share a story, too, about saying yes, but I think we should just dive in because we have a fun guest today that we want to hear from. And we all know and want to hear a little different side of his life. But this whole concept of saying yes, I love, because, you know, sometimes saying yes to things is not good. You know, you don't want to say yes to everything in life. You want to say no to the things that are not urgent, that can wait, or that add stress in your life. And you want to say yes to the things that push you out of your comfort zone, that make you better, that face your fears, that challenge you, that help you try new things. And that's kind of the idea that we want to focus on.
Yes.
Is saying yes, but also the power of saying the words yes.
Yes.
Those of you, yes, that are Tony Robbins fans, we're going to do a little drill today. And those that watch Tony Robbins, believe in him or not believe in him, he's incredible. And, you know, I've learned and gained a lot from him. But there is power in physiology. There's power in posture. There's power in motion. And motion equals emotion.
Yeah.
And the lights just went out. So
it's okay.
That's the power we have in this room. So we're just going to, when I say, say yes, you're going to say yes as loud as you can, wherever you are. And no one's on a call right now. That's really important, I'm sure. So go ahead and say it as loud as you want, but we're going to apply a physical movement with it too. So when you put emotion and physiology behind a strong word, then it only increases that empowerment. So when I say yes, we're going to do it three times. You're going to say yes, and you're going to fist bump. You're going to, you know, hit your fist, something, clap, whatever you want. Ready?
Yeah, I'm
Everyone
ready.
Everyone in this room, say yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Okay, that was kind of weak. I couldn't hear anyone from the outer offices. So we're going to do it one more time, nice and loud. Say yes. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was awesome.
So, question.
Pay attention to how you feel.
When my wife wants to buy something on Amazon, do I still have to say yes?
Things that add stress to your life, you can say no to.
Oh, thank you. That's so good.
But anyway, you know, as an athlete, a lot of time you make a basket, you do something good, you see them pumping that fist. They're not just running around with their head down. I mean, they're yes, you know, and you feel that it's a reinforcement of things we want to do.
Yeah.
So sometimes just getting up, starting your day, changing your physiology and looking in that mirror, say yes, or I am amazing.
Yeah.
And with some type of physiology, you tell me that doesn't change how you feel. It doesn't change your energy. So the power of saying yes today, it's verbal. Words matter.
Yeah.
But it's also very physical, and it also can change your life. And
no is such a negative word anyway.
It really is.
It does so much damage. It's funny, a doctor friend of ours, she will never say no. And I didn't pick up on that until a few years, but she would always say, when you'd suggest something, instead of saying no, she'd say, well, that's an interesting thought, but, or however. And I'm like, why don't you just say no, Kathy? It's okay. If you don't want to go on the hike, no is good, but she won't. And there's a lot of what you just said. She doesn't like the word no. She likes yes or a workaround.
For
that's
sure.
Positive.
And Hollywood's taken it to some extremes. You've seen like Yes Man, or you've seen, there's a movie about a couple that's getting ready to get divorced, but they decide to just go a week and they can't say no to each other. They have to say yes to each other's ideas and really be willing to get to know each other different. Now, again, saying no to things that we don't need in our life, that add a lot of busy, that's extra, that is negative, that's where we use no. But we need to say yes more. We need to.
Well, I think sometimes no is a crutch because it's uncomfortable.
For sure.
Right? No really should be a yes, but it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think that that is something that, you know, we should all be a little more willing to say yes to some things right now. And maybe look at what some of your fears are, things you've said no to that you're like, gosh, if I would have done. For example, if you are somebody that likes to dip your toe in the water and get in the water slowly, let's just erase that for a minute and do your biggest cannonball ever. Like, be a little bit more adventurous.
Yeah, put yourself out there a little bit.
So a friend tells me this is called summer hard. So that's a challenge of, we do things hard, meaning summer fun. So summer hard. Stop the dipping of the toe and let's just cannonball into some things in life. And
I like it.
And especially focus on that the next 2 months. So there's a lot of reasons why people get into this mindset of saying yes and what it does for them. In fact, we're thinking, gosh, you guys can sit and tell us all the time to do these adventures, to try different things, to get uncomfortable, but I'm working full time. I have kids. I have, you know, another job on the side, whatever it might be. We're busy. Mm-hmm. And we always have a reason to not do things that make us feel good about ourselves. Sometimes we even become the victim of, I can't, I have too much on my plate. And so I don't have time to do this. I'm providing for a family. I'm doing all this. Is that really true? Or are you just playing victim? And in some cases we are busy, but there are so many hours in a day. You know how much you can fit in a day?
A lot. And I think I'm personally guilty of that. And it's not always because I look for other things to do. It's because I'm afraid to get started because I don't know how.
Yeah.
And there really is no playbook for a lot of that. It's just, you have to try.
For sure. And guess what? Maybe we're afraid of what we might become if we do say yes.
Yeah. Or we're afraid of failing.
Yeah.
By whose standards, though?
Which that's the most common, right? Fear of failure, fear of acceptance, fear of all these things.
Yep.
Well, we have a guest today, and we're going to just introduce our guest by, you know, a little video that just shows all the boring things he does in his life, and then we'll bring him on.
Okay, let's do it.
To welcome the one and only Josh Romney. We all love Josh and we know what he is as a businessman and that he has 15 children and that he has
eight, Allie.
Oh, eight. Okay.
Eight.
You know, all these things he does on the side. There really isn't a busier person.
No. Yeah.
This is a man that has learned how to say yes.
And very self-disciplined. And
that's a big part of saying yes, though.
Yes, it is.
So, Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. This is fun. You talk about the eight kids. That's one area where I maybe should have said no once or twice. But, yeah, I said yes, and now I have eight kids.
So
can you hear me okay?
They can hear. We can't hear you, but you did hear. Just say something great, I'm sure. we're just checking our audio here.
That's funny.
Oh, I hear that voice now.
There it is. All right.
Morning, Josh.
How are you, Steven?
Wonderful.
Only his mother calls him Steven and me.
That means
he knows he's
tight.
In trouble. He knows he's in trouble.
So, Josh, we saw a video of these are just things you've done in the last, what, 6 months? 7 months?
Yeah. Those were all this year, I think. You said this year. So yes, last 6 months.
Perfect. So tell me, you know, or tell all of us a little bit about what drives you to do these things. And is this something that you have to put a lot of effort into doing, or is it something that's a natural part of your life? What does it do for you?
I get, I mean, I think like everybody, I think having something to look forward to and having something that excites you and makes you nervous is a really important part of who I am. It's funny, each of those things that I did makes me a little nervous. The cliff jump, that was about a 40-foot cliff jump I did, and my son Wyatt was with me. I was a little nervous to go off. I'm like, and we hadn't seen anybody go off it. We'd heard that there's a place to jump on that beach. We didn't know where. So we climbed up to that rock and he literally just walked up to the edge and was like, I think this is it, and jumped off. And I was panicked. I'm like, no, don't jump. But he jumped in. So then I had to jump. But it made me nervous. I hate heights. I hate jumping, all that stuff. But doing things like that makes you feel alive. It gives you energy. It gives you adrenaline. And it challenges you, and it puts you out of your comfort zone. And what I found that really helps is to surround myself with people who share that same mentality, to get out of your comfort zone, to do things that make you a little nervous. Nothing crazy. I don't do anything life-threatening. I'm not that big an adrenaline junkie. But just get out of your comfort zone, try something new, experience something new, and go for it. And so that, almost every one of those things that I show on there is the result of someone close in my life who's like, hey, do you want to come try this? Their rafting trip was my other business partner, Anthony Stauffer, just saying, hey, the kids and I are going to go out rafting on the Snake River today. And so I grabbed my kids. We drove up 3.5 hours and hopped on the river and had the time of our lives. So it really is. It's people in my life who are who share that same mentality of trying new things, trying to push yourself and have fun.
So Josh, I think I know the answer to this question, but for those of us that are with us on this call, when did you make a conceit or an effort to change, or have you always been this involved as far as fitness and health and everything, or was there a point in your life where you're like, I'm going to commit to this?
Yeah, it was, I hurt my back pretty severely about 15 years ago. And herniated a disc, and it actually still hurts. It hasn't stopped hurting for 15 years. But it got me down quite a bit. I did a couple other pretty major injuries along the way, torn ACL, torn Achilles. I've done a few of those things that make me value my physical body, that make me really appreciate when I do feel good, when I do feel strong. And it has driven me to always just want to have to be a little bit healthier, a little stronger, a little faster. This morning I got up at 5 o'clock and felt awful and put on my running shoes and went for a 6 mile run out in the woods and just did it. And honestly, the first mile was torture. I hated it. I hated every step. It was uncomfortable. And then the last five were actually really fun. It was, it gets better. So it's not easy to do that kind of stuff. It's never been comfortable. I don't think I like it more or less than anyone else. It's just that first step. It's making yourself get up and get out the door and put on your running shoes and go do it. That's the hardest part. But once you get past that first step, it's really quite fun.
So when that alarm clock or that natural wake up started and you knew you wanted to, you're committed to this run this morning, were there things in your head that were saying go back to bed, or did things in your mind that saying find other things to do because you didn't feel like
not just in my head, Steve. My wife was telling me to get back in bed.
What did that look like?
My wife was telling me to get back in bed. I wanted to get back in bed. So part of what I did, this is another thing. I always have to have something I'm looking forward to or working towards. And so I signed up for a triathlon, Olympic level triathlon in New Hampshire in about 3 weeks, and I'm not ready for it. So every day I'm biking, running, or swimming, and I'd like to get it done by 7 o'clock in the morning, because that's when kids start waking up and I got to get to work. So I have to wake up at 5, and if I don't wake up at 5, I'm not going to get it done. It's funny when you do that in the morning, when you take your morning and take a routine like that and have it done early, your whole day changes. My day is dramatically different. I'm much more productive. I feel better. I'm a little sleepy occasionally, But that, you know, caffeine usually takes care of that in the afternoon.
And what's the likelihood of you doing it at night? If you didn't do it in the morning, would you do it at night?
And there's zero. There is a 0% likelihood at night. If I don't do it before 7 a.m., it's not happening. I get too busy. I get pulled in different directions. I think about it all day. I think, oh, boy, I want to do this. I want to do this. And then, honestly, at night when you're in bed and you haven't done it, you feel down. I feel like, man, I was supposed to do this today. I didn't do it. And then on race day or whatever you're training for or whatever you're looking forward to, you feel it. You feel awful that day because you weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
So for me, I've got to wake up early.
What benefits have you seen through this process? Emotional, physical, mental, maybe all the above. I mean, you've been committed to this for a while now. What is your best benefits that you could share with us that are a result of this commitment?
I think emotional balance is really important. I think it keeps you very grounded. Working out every day keeps you very grounded, keeps you, it balances it. It just makes the highs maybe not so high and the lows not so low. It just kind of, maybe the highs are high. I don't know, but definitely my lows aren't as low. It's something in your life. Steve, you played that, what was it, the general who makes his bed every morning, and it's like at least you've done one thing. I think working out is really similar, where yes. You know, everything else can kind of go wrong in your life, but physically you worked hard, you're in good shape, you could go run a marathon if you wanted to. That's an accomplishment. That's something that feels good, something you can control. When so many things in our life, so many aspects of our life are out of our control. We'd all love, you know, 2% mortgage rates right now. It'd make our life pretty fun. That's not in our control. We can't control it. We can't have it. We'd like to be busier at work, you know, right now. And, you know, a lot of things we just can't control. I mean, there are some things obviously you can do to control that, but a lot of that's out of our hands. The market's just softening. So it's nice to have a few areas in your life where you can absolutely have control, manage it, and see benefits that are physical, emotional, spiritual, all the above.
Right.
So you mentioned that you sign up for things in order to be motivated to work out and do things. And I do the same thing because otherwise it's just a different drive. And you always have that competitiveness in you. But have you noticed in signing up for these things and in setting these goals and saying yes when people invite you, the impact it's had on your kids? Are they starting to take on some of these behaviors? Are they willing to, or are they just as much or more adventurous than you? Do they push you now?
They're adventurous in different ways. So they know I'm training for the swim. So I get all my kids to come out and swim with me. And my kids are swimmers. So they're actually faster than me. The older ones, if you're over about 12, they're faster than me. So they'll come swim with me. They'll go swim a mile in the morning. It's fun. It's really fun. But yeah, I've signed up. So I've signed up for the triathlon. I signed up for a Spartan race. And then, these are the things I really look forward to because work is wonderful and rewarding. But I like to have things that are different and challenging and fun. And then in October, I'm headed to Vietnam to go ride motorcycles with my son Wyatt for 5 days and go from on one end of the coast to the other. It's with Charity Vision. Another thing that, you know, I was introduced to me by a friend. He invited me to go to the Philippines. And it's one of those things that's like really easy to say no. Am I going to go to the Philippines to check out this charity? I said yes. I went and it changed my life forever. I'm going over experiencing that and seeing the people I met there. And it's every year I do a trip with them. And it's dramatic how big an impact that's had, not just my life, but on all my kids. So that's one where I get to bring one of my sons and practice our motorcycle skills and see how we do in a third world country driving dirt bikes down the beach.
That is incredible. You know, I think a lot of people have a hard time getting involved because they feel like it's such a selfish thing to put that much focus on their activities and things they're doing. But everything that you're saying, it's really impacted, influenced in a positive way. Yeah. Your friends, the people around you, they've influenced you in a positive way. And it's opened up a lot of opportunities for your kids and a lot of bonding as well.
And it really can change your life. And
doing but what some you of it... want to do to make you feel like you're myself, which is incredible.
So I have one other question, Josh. You mentioned 15 years ago you had a back injury, and that's when you made the commitment to make a change, to get more fit, to pay more attention to yourself and your body. How did that process? How did you start that process? Did the light just go on one day and say, "I'm going to do this"? And what did that look like?
I asked some neighbors what they were doing. I had a couple neighbors that were pretty fit. I asked what they were doing. They were doing CrossFit, which I'd never even heard of at the time. So I tried CrossFit and my back got considerably worse. So I quit CrossFit after about a year. But it gave me a bug. And then I started doing just my own routine that it's much more geared towards what my body needs. And I just went to the gym. I signed up for a gym membership. And then I found 5 or 6 people in the gym who were working out similar to the way I was working out. And we all work out almost every morning together and push each other. I really do think having the network of friends, or people that you care about and people that you could spend time with that will push you is really, really important. And you don't have to start with that group, but if you go to the gym every day, or you start climbing every day, or you go mountain biking every day, whatever it is that you feel like you want to do, or it could be non-physical. I mean, it could be something that's not a recreational, outdoor activity, but whatever it is, you start that, you'll create friendships. You'll grow and find people who share those same interests as you do. And that's, it's starting, and you're not going to start with, you may or may not start with your best friend doing it. But you have a very good chance you'll make that friend.
Right. So, I mean, I've known you for 4 years, 4.5 years. I don't know. It feels like forever, but it's actually
it feels like,
short in time. But I've noticed in the last year, you've always been in good shape, probably too good a shape. But in the last year, you're in really good shape. Has that been a different commitment, a different training, a different mindset? And do you feel like you are in the best shape this last year that you've been in your life?
I was cross country captain in high school. I don't think I'll ever be in as good a shape as I was at that
point. High school doesn't count.
So
I'm talking Tom Brady years.
Yeah, Tom Brady years. I am as fit and as strong as I've ever been. And I'm, not young anymore. I'm 46. I think it's gotten harder to be in shape. And I noticed that. I noticed I was doing the same thing for 5 years and I was going backwards. And so I had to shift a little bit, shift my diet, shift my routine. It's helped. I'm glad you noticed, Steve. I thought you hadn't noticed.
Believe me, he noticed.
this is getting awkward now. It might be time.
Josh, I won't tell Jen. Mentor. You're an unbelievable leader and such a good example of someone that consistently tries to grow and push themselves. Josh and I had a brief conversation sharing our event stories, just how you do something and it makes you feel like it's a huge win and you want to now see what the next thing is. And I think part of what Josh has shared is you put something on the calendar, you prepare for it, but then once you do it, human nature is to keep growing. And so what's next becomes the conversation. And Josh is an awesome example of continuing to say yes and putting something new on the calendar and pushing himself. So Josh, thank you so
much.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to call you my brother and friend. I appreciate you.
I love you guys both. You guys are wonderful. I will say I did an event last year in Vermont. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. It was 6 hours long, the whole time grueling. And when I finished, I said, I will never, ever do that again. That was awful. And 2 weeks later, I signed up for it. So I'm doing it again. It's just having a challenge, having something like that is really, it's rewarding. It keeps your mind focused and allows everything else in my life to really come together better, both spiritually and at work. Everything clicks a little bit better when I spend time doing something else.
Awesome.
Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, you guys are great.
And good luck.
Love you guys.
Your upcoming triathlon. Can't wait to hear about.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
So, Allie, we're getting close on time. I think we should go over a couple last housekeeping items before we depart.
Yes.
So let's talk about the challenge.
Okay. So
really talk about this challenge.
Yes, I was going to say, so, one thing that Josh brought up is just that he has a triathlon in 3 weeks and he's maybe not prepared. So do you do it or do you not do it? I think our whole life, we're like, let's set goals that we can accomplish and feel really good about ourselves.
Yeah.
But we want small wins. We want things that build our confidence. But Josh is going to do that triathlon whether he's ready or not. it's just going to not be so good if he's not prepared.
That's right.
So let's be a product of being unrealistic. So what I mean by that is set goals for yourself that are up here, that are unrealistic. And who we become and the wins happen in preparing for those, not actually reaching it. You know, if you can accomplish that goal, great. But if you fail big.
Yeah.
Don't set a goal that's accomplishable and now you are like, I feel really good about myself.
You're never going to be prepared.
I could have been there.
But you can... It will help you grow
for sure.
In preparation for the future.
Yes. So we're going to talk about today a challenge that we're throwing out that we need to put something on the calendar, everybody. We're going to do this as a branch, an individual, or groups within your branch. So by July 20th, you need to, as either branch managers, you guys can do this however you want.
Operations managers,
yes. Any leadership
groups.
Position in within your department. And by the 20th, you need to let your leader or manager or whoever it is know what your individual or group challenge is going to be by July 20th. And you have through August 31st to complete an event, a race, a challenge, face a fear, try something new.
Mountain climb.
And again, be a product of being unrealistic.
And we want proof. So we would like for you to, and you can send this to podcast@intercaplending.com. We want pictures. It doesn't need to be an essay, but some sort of journey statement of what that process was like and what you learned and failures, successes, how hard it was, whatever. We really want you to participate in this.
And if you're not a big like event physical person, like just talk to some of my team, afraid of heights, afraid of water. So jump out of a plane. Go get scuba certified. Go dive in the crater. Something that really is going to push you. It doesn't have to be expensive. And again, it doesn't have to be a physical race. But again, when we do things physical, it's measurable. And that's why a lot of people do that and continue to add upon that. So
marketing is going to send something out that for everybody. So be on the lookout for that. But we really want everybody's participation.
Yes.
On this.
This month. Say yes.
Yes, say yes. And there's one thing I kind of wanted to share before we go. And my mom's dealing with COVID really severely. And so I got that news from my dad, and my dad's my sounding board. So I called him, and I was dealing with a couple other things. You know, it's hard at work and different things. He always has good feedback. And I said, he said, son, I'm going to give you some advice. And this has been resonating with me for the last 5 days, because it was 5 days ago when he gave it to me. He said, son, yesterday's success is today's trap. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yesterday's success is today's trap. And I really didn't say, well, Dad, I don't understand what you mean. I just said, oh, that's great advice, Dad. Talk to you later. And then I kind of reflected on that, and it's right. We have wins yesterday or success yesterday, and we become complacent today. Don't fall into that trap. Yesterday's success is today's trap.
We're meant to evolve.
We are.
We're meant to grow.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome insight from Dad.
It is. So with that, we're going to bid you a farewell and say thank you. And please join us for next month's podcast. And we're excited to hear what you come up with for your challenge and see that. But more importantly, too, we would like your feedback. I ask for this every month and we get a little bit, but I would like to see more.
Yeah.
If you have a story to share, if you have something challenging or something that would be a good topic for us, we invite you. We want you on the show. So please reach out to us.
Yep. Thanks, you guys. We love you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a great July.
Say yes.
Yes.